A recent report by the United Nations says the Gaza Strip will be unlivable by 2020 if nothing is done to alleviate the situation in that tiny coastal territory. A population boom, dwindling resources, and restrictions on trade and travel by neighbors Egypt and Israel have meant the situation for the 1.8 million Palestinians who live in Gaza is increasingly desperate. NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro reports from Gaza City.
Ihab Abu Nada's family lives down a series of dark, narrow alleyways. Their house has two bedrooms for the seven people living there. The kitchen and the bathroom are in the same space, and the roof is made of tin and frequently leaks. Still, most of the family income goes into paying the rent. Ihab's picture adorns a cracked wall here, his simple memorial. Earlier this month, after being unable to find work, the 18-year-old set himself on fire and died. The family is still in mourning. His father, Sufyan, says his son was driven to despair by the economic hardships in the Gaza Strip. He killed himself because of the tough situation we live in, Sufyan says. When he came home and found that there's no water in the house, no electricity, no place to sleep with any privacy, it was too much. It's a very difficult life. I guess that's why he did it, Sufyan says. Gaza's statistics make grim reading by almost every indicator, says a recent UN report. Despite a recent pickup in the economy, Palestinians in Gaza are worse off than they were in the 1990s. The population is booming and infrastructure is crumbling. Here at the maternity ward in Gaza's main hospital, the women are crowded five or six to a room. They lay listlessly on plastic mattresses with no sheets, their newborns swaddled next to them. Gaza has one of the highest birth rates in the world, and the maternity ward here can barely keep up. Ola Manusha gave birth at 6 a.m. this morning to a daughter she named Ala. It's 10 a.m. now, and mother and child are being sent home. Forget birth plans and postnatal care. The hospital is so busy, it can only give women a few hours recovery time before asking them to leave. Ola says there are hardly any doctors to look after us. She says she'd rather go home, as the conditions are so terrible here. A stray cat roams the halls while women in labor scream.
Delivery room, most of the time, overcrowded.
Deputy Hospital Director Ahmed Al-Madoun points to the metal tables the women are giving birth on. They are crusted with old blood and fluid.
We need extra facilities. It becomes dirty. Maybe it needs some maintenance.
And it's not just the facilities that are dire in Gaza. There's a water crisis here as well. A private water tanker makes the rounds of the neighborhoods in Gaza City. Its distinctive jingle, a call for people to come out and buy what they need to drink, cook, and clean. According to the authorities here, around 95% of the municipal water is undrinkable by international standards. And in any case, only some 60% of homes have access to potable water on a regular basis.
It is a health disaster.
Monther Shoblak heads the water authority in Gaza. He says the chronic electricity shortages in Gaza are only adding to the water issues.
Gaza is facing a real environmental and health disaster in the coming years. Meaning by 2016, not even 2020, our aquifer will be no more capable to give us more water, even saline. Then what? Gaza will not be livable.
Industry, too, is stymied. According to the UN, almost 60% of Gaza's youth is unemployed. Gaza's economy has suffered particularly badly in the last 5 years. Israel instituted a punishing blockade on the Strip after Hamas militants took over Gaza in 2007. Hamas is considered a terrorist organization by Israel and the United States. After Hamas took over, militants launched thousands of rockets at Israeli communities, and in the winter of 2008, Israel invaded the Strip. Many homes were destroyed, and both civilians and militants were killed. Then, in 2010, after Israeli commandos boarded a Turkish flotilla and killed nine activists who were trying to break the blockade, Israeli restrictions on imports to Gaza from Israel were eased. But today, Israel still stops most exports from Gaza to Israel and the West Bank. Egypt, too, has tight restrictions on trade and travel for Gazans. Kamal Ashour's textile factory shows the arc of economic activity here. Before Israel's restrictions and Hamas's takeover, he ran a thriving business that exported sweaters to Israel and the West Bank. He employed about 40 people. When Israel put its restrictions in place, his business dwindled to nothing. The factory was shuttered for years. The recent easing of imports into Gaza has meant he can now get the threads and other materials he needs to make his clothes. But he only produces for the limited local market and now has a part-time staff of about 20 people. It's better, but he's barely making ends meet because he can't export to Israel and the West Bank. There's a saying in Arabic, what we plant in summer, we eat in winter, he says. We are just getting by, not thriving, Ashour says. A political impasse hasn't helped matters. Hamas and its rival Fatah, which holds sway in the West Bank, have been trying to form a unity government for years. A brief but bloody civil war left the two sides bitterly opposed to one another. Reconciliation talks have gone nowhere. Ghazi Hamad is Hamas's deputy foreign minister. He says there's little signs of a breakthrough.
The atmosphere is very bad. It's very negative. I can say it is frozen. It is the gap is still increased between both Hamas and Fatah.
And so, says Gaza-based analyst Mukhaimer Abu Sada, Hamas is looking elsewhere for help.
Something has to be done with regard to improving the daily life of the Palestinians in Gaza. Hamas basically is not looking north. Hamas is looking southward toward the Egyptians.
Hamas is an offshoot of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood, which swept to power after the Egyptian revolution. Hamas has asked the leadership in Egypt to open the borders for trade and travel, though so far that hasn't happened and isn't likely to. And so ordinary Palestinians in Gaza live in a kind of suspended animation, hoping things will get better despite predictions that they will get worse, waiting for others to determine their fate. Lourdes Garcia-Navarro, NPR News.